From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, March 10th. I'm Abby Larico. Candidates are making the case to voters for three seats on the St. Louis Public Schools Board of Education.
Our role is to set up the structures and guidelines for how the people that are doing the great work, the ones who are the experts in their work, can do it to the best of their ability.
That was one candidate, Crystal Barnett. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed spoke with her and others on the ballot to learn about their vision for the school district. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The City of St. Louis's Democratic Central Committee has officially endorsed Alderwoman Kara Spencer for mayor. Members from all 14 wards weighed in on who to support. Incumbent Mayor Tashara Jones had 9 votes, Spencer had 15. Mayor Jones says the decision announced over the weekend is merely a power grab for the Democratic Committee. The committee's chair, Sean Faust, says while the move is rare, there was some unity among black and white committee members about a need for change. The group also endorsed a comptroller pick, choosing incumbent Darlene Green over challenger Donna Behringer. Voters will have the final say in the general municipal election on April 8th. St. Louis County Councilman Dennis Hancock is running for county executive in 2026. The Fenton Republican announced at the Missouri Republican Party Lincoln Days this past weekend that he'll forego a run at a second term on the county council and instead seek to unseat the Democratic county executive, Sam Page. While St. Louis County drifted toward the Democrats in recent years, Hancock says he could offer an alternative to the status quo.
And I think it's time for people to take a fresh look at what a conservative Republican might have to offer.
Page may face a challenge in the Democratic primary from Councilwoman Shalonda Webb and State Senator Brian Williams. Members of the American Federation of Government Employees rallied this weekend in Florissant, calling for President Trump to withdraw his executive orders that have disrupted workers nationwide since January. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports.
Dozens of federal union members are protesting outside the Postal Service building on North Highway 67. Dorissa Ellis is a member of Local 2192. She's worked at the Veterans Benefits Administration office in Overland since October. She and 19 colleagues received termination emails from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs late last month.
So they basically let me work the whole day, then to tell me that I don't have a job. I'm having a hard time getting a job because I came to work for the government. I left the job that I was at. So now I'm just kind of stuck with 2 kids.
The U.S. Office of Personnel Management says job appointments aren't final until the 1 to 2 year probationary period ends. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Confluence Academy's Aspire campus will close in the fall. St. Louis Public Schools sponsors the charter school system, which is one of the city's largest. SLPS Superintendent Millicent Borishade made the announcement during an all-staff meeting on Friday. STLPR obtained a recording of the meeting, in which Borishade says the district is also readying itself to close some public schools in the 2026-2027 academic year.
We have to think about what this looks like for 26-27. And my promise to you is that we will do this together.
Borishade says there will be a 3-phase plan to help gather feedback from the community on next steps, starting with meetings kicking off later this month. Afton High School in South St. Louis County has been vandalized with racist images and phrases, according to school officials. Friday morning, staffers discovered graffiti with swastikas and the misspelled phrase "white power" spray-painted on the front of the building. District officials say they are working to quickly clean up the hateful message and have reported the incident to law enforcement. The school district is home to around 2,500 students. In a statement, Superintendent Travis Brock said, quote, "Hate has no home in Afton School District. This incident strengthens our resolve to ensure that our schools remain safe, welcoming spaces where every student is valued and respected." The St. Louis Health Director is raising concerns about falling vaccination rates among Missouri school children. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports Dr. Mati Soshwayo-Davis made her comments during a briefing put on by the Infectious Diseases Society of America.
Soshwayo-Davis, an infectious disease physician, says 10% of the state's kindergartners have not been vaccinated against measles. That's a drop of 4 percentage points since 2020. The health director also says 1/4 of parochial school students in St. Louis are not vaccinated. Sashwayo Davis says school nurses have brought up concerns following a measles outbreak in Texas that this year has sickened more than 150 people.
Most had never, ever seen a case of measles. So it's very important to understand that we have a workforce that has largely not experienced this, and we need all hands on deck.
The health director also mentioned dozens that have been infected in a recent Kansas City area tuberculosis outbreak. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
While most of the U.S. lost an hour on the clock this weekend with the start of daylight saving time, a bill making its way through the Illinois legislature could eliminate the tradition and make it the last time Illinoisans lose sleep over it. State Representative Bob Morgan is the bill's primary sponsor. Dozens of states have been pushing for similar change for years, but the Democrat from suburban Chicago says he's hopeful.
It's more likely than it's ever been in my lifetime. Twice a year, I hear about this from my constituents, old and young, and everyone I know agrees that we need to make a change.
Individual states don't have the power to change the law and permanently observe daylight saving time due to the Uniform Time Act of 1966. Congress has the final say on the matter, so it would have to act for the Illinois law to go into effect. The SIUE Cougars are headed to the NCAA men's basketball tournament for the first time in school history. SIUE topped Southeast Missouri State 69-48 Saturday night to win the Ohio Valley Conference Championship. Cougars head coach Brian Baroni says the defense of Declan Dillon and Jordan Pickett off the bench was key in the second half.
They were a duo that I thought really changed the dynamic of the game and had our team start believing in what needed to take place or really seeing what needed to take place. And then the next guys went in because of their leadership in that regard.
Collinsville native Rayshon Taylor was named tournament MVP for SIUE after leading all scorers with 20 points. The Cougars will learn their tournament seed and destination this Sunday at 5 p.m. when the NCAA tournament bracket is unveiled. Twelve people are on the ballot for three seats on the St. Louis Public Schools Board of Education. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed sat down with the candidates to hear how they plan to handle the district's most pressing issues.
The next iteration of the SLPS Board of Education will have to hit the ground running to tackle some critical issues facing the district, including school closures.
As a school board, you have to make tough decisions, and school closures are tough decisions, but they're a needed decision right now.
That's AJ Foster. She's an SLPS graduate and works for a nonprofit called Digital Promise.
It doesn't make sense, right, to operate buildings and to pay for buildings and pay for the infrastructure of buildings and the upkeep of buildings when we don't have students, staff, or teachers there.
SLPS, much like the rest of the region, continues to face a declining student population. According to the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, the district has lost over 5,000 students since 2017. There are also over 60 schools in the district, many of which are in dire need of repair, according to Cordigan Clark and Associates, an architecture firm evaluating all of the district's school buildings. According to their estimates, it would cost SLPS nearly $1.8 billion over the next 20 years to maintain and repair all of them, money the district does not have. Candidate Karen Collins Adams, who leads the Rising Teachers Program at St. Louis University, says closing schools will help the district move toward both academic and financial growth.
We have to advance. Do we really want to stay where we are, or do we want to get better? And that's a hard decision everyone would have to make, including the people that live in that neighborhood that want to hold on to their history.
Teacher recruitment and retention is another point of tension for SLPS. Like the rest of the nation, the district is experiencing a teacher shortage. Brian Marston is a senior developer at Washington University and has two children enrolled in SLPS. He says supporting teachers is a cornerstone of his campaign for a seat on the board.
My experience as a parent in SLPS has been that so many of the teachers are doing a phenomenal job no matter what's going on at the administration level or what's going on downtown.
Zach Davis has firsthand experience of the challenges teachers face. He teaches at Cardinal Ritter College Prep and has previously taught in SLPS.
You don't know how many teachers, including myself in times past, have had to work two and sometimes three jobs that's really disheartening. And so you see a lot of teachers leaving public school districts, going elsewhere because they're being offered substantially more than where they're working.
Davis said he'd like to increase teachers' annual salaries to at least $60,000, but didn't specify how the district could make that happen. The average teacher's salary in the district sits around $55,000 per year, lower than some neighboring districts. The election comes as SLPS has seen significant leadership turnover in the last year after the board fired former superintendent Keisha Scarlett for allegedly misusing district funds and violating hiring policies. Scarlett denies any wrongdoing. Crystal Barnett says the board and district leaders must work to rebuild community trust.
I think part of the trust brokenness that we feel is because people feel like they're being told one thing, but they see other things happening, or they've been promised a thing, and it's over-promising and under-delivering.
Barnett is the founder and CEO of Bridge to Hope, a nonprofit that helps parents advocate for their students. The organization is funded by the Opportunity Trust, which we should note is a funder of STLPR. She says the board helps guide but leaves the day-to-day work to the superintendent and teachers.
Our role is to set up the structures and guidelines for how the people that are doing the great work, the ones who are the experts in their work, can do it to the best of their ability.
Voters can read more about each candidate on stlpr.org and cast their ballots on April 8th. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.